Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
The recent opinion piece by columnist Nicholas Kristof alleged widespread sexual abuse of Palestinian detainees by Israeli security personnel has triggered an intense backlash from Israel. Joining me now is Simon Ploska. He is the editorial director of Honest Reporting. Simon, good morning. It's been way too long, but I think I say that every time I speak to you. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, Howard. I mean, it's been an unbelievable week, to be honest. I think we can joke about dogs and things like that, but it's incredible that this has ended up in the pages of the New York Times.
Because that shows that there's actually no limit to what people will believe and publish if it's about Israel and Jews. You know, I was on a webinar last night, and I actually made the point that when I was young, we'd hear stories of blood libels, and I would think, did people believe that Jews would find Christian children to make their matzahs with? Then I thought, well, maybe because it was Eastern Europe. Now, 2026, and this is what the New York Times are publishing. How did we get here?
Well, yeah, well, I can tell you how he actually got here, because we followed the trail of his so-called evidence, which there was none, incidentally. And I mean, if we want to talk about the dogs, this yes. was something that was put out there. It's been traced back to a couple of random accounts on social media, the sort of ones that do spread horrendous things like this. And, you know, the fact that, using animals, we've seen this before, spy eagles, you know, trained dolphins.
Yes, dolphins.
Mossad this, Mossad that. But, you know, rapist dogs is a whole new level of just ridiculousness. But how it ends up in the New York Times, we traced it to an organization called Euromed, Euromed Human Rights Monitor. Now, it sounds all cuddly and fluffy, but it is in fact a Hamas front organization. Its leaders have been linked to terrorism, and it spreads all sorts of terrible nonsense. But somehow it is being picked up by supposedly credible sources. And Nick Kristof picked this up. He also used a commentator called Shail Ben Ephraim.
We know him well.
Former Israeli. Indeed, someone who is an anti-Zionist. He's an Israel hater. He also, somewhat ironically, has a history. He was actually kicked out of his job at UCLA for sexual harassment, of all things. He claims that this dog raping story was that he confirmed it. He had spoken to other sources in the IDF, which turned out to be complete nonsense. However, here we are. We end up with this being repeated in the New York Times by Nicholas Kristof. The mind boggles, to be honest.
It really does. How does this pass muster at the New York Times? Anybody looking at it is going to know, whether it's true or untrue, this is going to have a major repercussion. It's a hell of an allegation. Surely the editorial at the New York Times would have said, let's look at this very carefully before we put this on our front page or anywhere in the paper.
Well, it's actually very interesting, because this wasn't published in the news section. It was published in the opinion section.
Right.
And so that leaves a whole range of questions here as to why this.
Yeah, I mean, how can that be an opinion? It can't be an opinion if the IDF is using dogs to assault prisoners. That's not an opinion. That either is or isn't.
No, absolutely. And, there's been a lot of pushback. And the New York Times, instead of, showing some self-reflection here, has instead doubled down. defending Christophe all over social media. Its PR departments have been releasing statements. It's incredible. There is no accountability there. They got rid of their public editor, their ombudsman, if you will, in about 2017. And since then, there is effectively no one you can complain to who is going to take an independent look at this. And in any case, this whole dog thing, if you know, I believe, in fact, yes, if I remember rightly, Christophe claimed to have found three medical journals which said that this was a biological possibility. Well, we found them as well. And in fact, what happened there, and I'm sorry to even bring this up on a...
I think it's important.
This happened to be like one of the main stories was of a 12-year-old who was fiddling with a dog, not the dog fiddling with the 12-year-old. It is biologically and anatomically impossible for a dog to rape a human being, period.
It's just remarkable. The strange thing about this is, if we're going to be perfectly realistic, given the what goes on in prisons around the world, unfortunately, there might well have been, I would imagine, isolated sexual assault, whether it's prisoner to prisoner, guard to prisoner, prisoner to guard. The incidents happen. And when you've got a situation like October 7th, where there was this increased amount of prisoners within a prison system under strain, I would imagine that things could have happened. There might have been isolated incidents, as they are in South African prisons, in American prisons, everywhere around the world. To some extent, if he did want to investigate what could be a reasonable concern, he in fact threw that out the water, threw that out completely by making completely ridiculous allegations, and not only implying but saying that it was systemic and not just something that might have happened. Your thoughts on that?
No, absolutely. Christophe basically implied that this was a state sanctioned thing that was going on. I think we can't be naive here. Of course, you're absolutely right. Terrible things happen, and in fact, you're right as well, that there was a massive strain on the prison system here. They were calling up reservists to guard these prisoners, many of them untrained to do so. So it's entirely possible that things have happened that really shouldn't have happened, and of course they should be investigated. However, this is very, very different from saying it is a state-sanctioned thing. The state will take action where these allegations are proven, and they will investigate. I think we also have to take into account the timing of this piece, because something did come out a day later. It was the Civil Commission's report, a 300-page report on the sexual violence that took place on October 7th and to the hostages. The fact that Christophe published a day before is no coincidence, because Hamas, as we know, and has now been absolutely categorically proven, had a policy of rape, of murder, of all these sexual abuses that went on that day. Some of the stories are absolutely horrific. And what Christophe has gone and done, and I believe this is because he was being tapped by various activists, anti-Israel activists, this was done to try and distract from the main story here, which is one of Hamas's crimes.
So do you think that this was deliberate?
I think
in terms of timing. I mean, in terms of timing, obviously. Yeah.
I believe it's deliberate. We've also heard from the Israeli Foreign Ministry, which says that the New York Times contacted by the Civil Commission to ask them if they were interested in the testimonies and the report when it was published, and they expressed a sincere lack of interest, apparently.
So what happens now in terms of the New York Times? You're saying that there's no ombudsman. As honest reporting, what is your job? What is everybody else's job? How does this play out?
So effectively, it's all about the pressure. The pressure is turning up on the New York Times. We, for example, had an editorial piece published yesterday in the Wall Street Journal, which is a huge deal. It's a, you know, one of the top publications in America. There are protests, I know, being organized outside the New York Times headquarters. But ultimately, it's all about keeping shining the light on this issue. I don't believe the New York Times will be able to keep heading off all of this pressure. As long as we keep this in the news, as long as we keep pushing, and as long as we keep exposing the sources that Christoph used, and we haven't even discussed all of those. There isn't time to do that, but there's some very, very dubious sources here. At some point, they're going to be embarrassed into doing some sort of, they're going to back down. At least I hope that is what's going to happen. That is what should happen, because the New York Times needs to be held accountable and needs to look at itself.
What's interesting for me, and a little bit of a conflict, is how much airtime to give this. Because to some extent, us talking about this means that they've been successful in diverting the attention away from the report of the horrendous sexual violence perpetrated by Hamas on October the 7th and beyond. And we're now talking about this. So to some extent, they've been successful in doing that. On the flip side of that is, if we don't speak about it and we don't react as we have been reacting, then there's a chance it just sort of, then it becomes the new normal for the New York Times. How do we balance that?
No, you're right. It is something of a double-edged sword. However, this is the sort of allegation that you would normally see in some nasty dark corner of social media and on the internet. You know, if we're talking about, giving it, airplay, well, the simple fact is it's managed to get into the New York Times. It doesn't really get any bigger than that. We cannot afford to be silent on this, because our silence will effectively prove to other people that there's something to these allegations, when, of course, there isn't. Therefore, we need to make sure that we are exposing everything here. And what we've done is find out the facts. We've found what is wrong with the evidence, so-called evidence, that he's presented. We've put it out there. We're getting the story out there now. And that is going to be the story, I hope, which now dominates. Not a story of rapist dogs, but a story about how Nicholas Kristof and the New York Times effectively threw journalistic practice out of the window.
It's just remarkable, because every time we think we can be surprised, we become more and more surprised, and it's just quite unbelievable. One does wonder where all of this ends. Simon Ploska, thank you as always. Thank you for the work that you are doing and continue to do at Honest Reporting. Simon Ploska is the editorial director of Honest Reporting. How do you think that we should be reacting to this? What is the best course of action in your view? Gail says the Israel haters are depraved. Carol Z says, do people want to believe in fake news? Unfortunately, the answer is yes, because if you hate Jews and if you hate Israel, you will believe anything that paints them in a way that you already think they are doing things that you already think that they are capable of doing. And that's the problem. That is why this gets the traction that it does.